Welcome to Cloudlandia. Mr. Sullivan.
Yeah, I thought I'd just wait a minute and give you a little nervousness, a little return.
I thought that's great. Just to hear
not
our
too
pledge.
Much.
I mean,
not
just
too
enough
much.
To hear, just
our
enough
pledge.
To hear the song.
Yeah.
That's our pledge.
Yeah.
Never going
to
give you
just
up.
To hear
Never
our...
going to let you down.
Yeah. You know, you can do tricks in Cloudland.
Yes, exactly. Oh my goodness, it is absolutely a gorgeous day on the mainland here in the Four Seasons Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
In my courtyard, it's absolutely the perfect temperature. This is why people...
What would that be, like 75, 80?
Right now it is about 76 degrees.
There you go.
And
there you go.
Yeah. And it's still, and I love it. We got a
Well, we're having probably one of the outstanding autumns in my 51 years in Toronto. And so this is the third time I can remember that on Halloween, the big oak trees in our lawn are going to be green for Halloween.
Really?
And,
wow. So,
they haven't really changed yet. And,
wow.
And the colors are just really happening now.
Yeah.
And,
I was talking yesterday to a friend in Ellora, and he said that everything's on fire up there. It's just... And it was a beautiful day yesterday, apparently.
Yeah, they're higher in Ellora. You know, by the time you get to our cottage, which is about a 2.5 hour drive from Toronto, you're 1,000 feet higher than we are here in the beaches.
Wow.
And, yeah. So it's
everything staying grounded at 155 feet right now. So.
Yeah.
I got that going for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. So what was your take on our free zone on Friday?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's the idea of the triple play workshop or worksheet was...
Yes.
I found that really clarifying, you know, because it was... I looked at the things that I was putting in the arrows in the thoughts, and they were sort of three separate things with a little... adjustment, you know, I realized they're all part of the same. You see the connections between them, which strengthened all of them. So I love a good thinking tool. You know, it's something.
Yeah.
You can't. I think you always end up with, you know, really clear thinking from being able to orchestrate the way or guide the way you think about something.
Yeah, and I think that there's something about being a prisoner of content. In other words, if you think of the arrows, you know this thing, and that's content in your life. And you know this thing, and that's content in your life. And there's another thing that's content in your life. But then when you're presented with a challenge to, I think, create the connection between two of them this way, and then two of them this way, and then two of them this way. I think that you change the context. You suddenly have an entirely new context that includes all three as contributing members.
Yeah, on that, I was just having, before we got on the call here, I was talking with Scott Ford, who's a new Free
Scott
Zone.
Just started in Free Zone. Yeah, he just started in Free Zone. Yeah.
So he was talking about his new collaboration with Garnet and
Garnet Morris.
Yeah. So it's fun to see all the things, you know, everything shaping up with all the different projects that people are working on.
Yeah. I think that among the, I think we're right around 75 now. We have about 75 in the free zone. There's another 15 who will be there by the end of the first quarter of 2023. And so that'll bring us up to about 90. And what's interesting that surprised me is they have to come in with a collaboration. In other words, one of the qualifiers to get into the free zone is that you have to have an existing active collaboration with someone. But what I'm noticing more and more is that the collaborations are within the members of
forming.
Once they get in, they start creating collaborations with other people in the room.
Yeah, I like that. And this whole idea, you know, you mentioned of bringing, just putting three people together, kind of thing, like really just thinking. I've kind of been thinking about the VCR formula, vision, capabilities, and reach, as in a similar way to thinking about that triple play. I see that you're doing is I'm looking at the, you know, and you come at it from any side, you know, and it's okay. You can, in this world now, it's good. You can be a visionary without any capabilities or reach who can connect. As long as you can see it, you can connect, you know, that don't have the, that wouldn't have been connected otherwise. And so kind of, that's a really exciting time. No matter what your strength is, no matter where your assets are, there's equal opportunity, you know?
Yeah. You know what might be interesting is to use your model as the three arrows. In other words, say, what's your biggest vision right now as an entrepreneur? Mm-hmm. Would you say is the biggest capability that you bring to the table right now? Mm-hmm. And what would you say is the reach you have right now in terms of your, you know, your furthest reach? This is the furthest reach that you have right now. And then put three people together, and collectively they create a triple crown where the capabilities, the vision capabilities and reach of what they're doing actually combines.
I agree. Like, that is really the, you know, that's the basis for, it's certainly the basis for these collaborations. I mean, I'm interested to hear your further research about coal and Amazon, because we were talking about it in the workshop on Friday a little bit. You kind of mentioned that you had looked a little more into seeing what had happened.
Yeah, well, you had a number that I didn't have, which says that they've acquired, Coles has acquired 2 million more customers as a result of handling the returns for Amazon products, where someone's received something on Amazon, they don't like it, they want to return it. And Kohl's has positioned themselves as the who will handle that for Amazon. And it's very interesting. And then that requires two things: that people come into a Kohl's store, and, you know, and then once the product is returned, they handle all the operations to get it returned and get a refund for, you know, for the person. And then they give them a $25 gift certificate, which is valid only for that day in Kohl's. Okay. So they've accomplished a major new capability. How do we get 2 million? Well, it's not 2 million different individuals, but it would be 2 million separate return transactions. You know, that's huge. I mean,
really,
that's
huge. Yeah.
And if Kohl's had tried to come up with a marketing campaign, how do we get 2 million more people to come into our stores? They'd still be at the planning stages.
I just think, like, I'm so fascinated by these things and, you know, being able to see them, you know, like that. And now I've mentioned that they're kind of really going down that path of these collaborations, because they've opened now Sephora stores within the Kohl's store. I think about those kind of collaborations in retail. You're starting to see these trends of everything leading back to these, you know, collaborative efforts. I was mentioning the new trend sort of in urban things is, we'll call them modern food courts, but like gathering areas where they'll have, you know, a beautiful, big, you know, gathering place, and for even live music kind of capability with the stage or, you know, to gather people, but then have, you know, all these food trucks all around the place. So thinking, you know, rather than every one of
sort of inside food trucks.
Yeah, but these are in a lot of cases outside environment. Yeah. Or, you know, or big. There's one in.
Or inside. You know, they.
Yeah, a lot of them in.
You can have mobile stands, you know, that are on wheels and, you know.
Yes.
And,
that's exactly it. So thinking about the combining to find reach, that rather than having their individual things set up in, you know, different parts of the. Cities that all come together and create a gathering place with a reason for people coming together, because there's going to be live music or there's going to be some performance or something. So everybody comes and that's where, you know, then you get a hungry crowd. It's kind of a no-brainer. Imagine that's kind of the history of how the mall, the shopping mall, kind of happened, right? Because it went from probably markets to the main street, you know, of a city,
well,
to shopping mall.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is that you started having the department stores, which, you know, and the departments were, you know, what had originally started as a separate clothing store, but the clothing was within the department store. And then you know, if you think of Eden's in Canada or Simpson's in Canada, when I first came to Canada in the 1970s, you had, those were the two outstandingly big departments.
And the Bay.
Yeah, Hudson's Bay, yeah. Are any of those
still around?
Hudson's Bay is, yeah. Simpsons and Simpsons Eden. And Eden's are gone.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not, they don't exist anymore.
Right.
Hudson's Bay bought out both of them, you know, both of them. Yeah. What used to be called Eaton is still called the Eaton Center, but it's controlled by another company. And then what used to be Simpsons on Queen Street, you know, it's Queen and Young, is Saks Fifth Avenue there.
Okay.
And that's owned by another company. That's owned by another company now. You know?
Yeah.
I think Saks is owned by Hudson's Bay. I think Hudson's Bay.
They own it all, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of my frequent pastimes to follow corporate takeovers.
Corporate hierarchy charts, right, exactly.
I'm more interested in the expansion of Mr. Beast's hamburger restaurants. What's he up to now? I mean, he started 300 on his first day.
Well, the biggest thing, so now the thing, I was thinking about Shahid. Is it Shahid? Is our new friend in Free Zone?
Yeah, Shahid from Lahore in Pakistan, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Shahid. Mr. Beast started a chocolate bar company and cookies called Feastables, and they're over $100 million in sales now on chocolate bars. He's got stuff in Walmart. And I'm just, you know, I thought about when Shahid was talking about their capabilities of making biscuits. That's the kind of thing. It's just like there's a Kylie Jenner moment waiting to happen with something like that, where if he, because it sounds like he's got a very big operation. Like, you know,
well, he's got 450 different locations in Pakistan.
Right.
450. And he's got, you know, he's got 4,000 employees, you know, and I think that the interesting thing about it is humans want to put things together. You know, we're the want to put things together species.
Yes. That's what I immediately see. And that's vision. That's, we're all visionaries, I guess, right? Like, that's,
well, it's vision that becomes capability, and then it becomes reach, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when Mr. Beast was a 16-year-old in North Carolina, he was just trying to put the YouTube viewers together with some of the fun things that he liked to do, you know?
Right.
That's how he, and here, I'm going to show you how we bought out a dollar store one day where we
Yes.
paid him for everything in the store if it could all be boxed up in a
Yes.
certain number of hours, and
Yes.
we would pay him for everything in the
In the
store.
store. Yes.
And yeah, and so he started putting together an audience that would follow him with his latest new put
Yes.
something together in a new way
Yes.
event, and grew himself.
Yes.
You know, it's really interesting. I'm writing my new quarterly book, and it's called Capitalism Dash and
I
Everything
love the
Else.
story.
And what I'm zeroing in on is capitalism is the only system in which everybody can participate based on choice. If you want to participate in capitalism, you
Yes.
should do it. But you've got to commit yourself to being measured in five ways. And the first one is you've got to be measured in terms of how you price yourself. In other words, you have to put a price on your value to other people. Okay. And so value for all of us, you, me, and Mr. Beast, is really determined that we have a capability, and with our capability, we can create something of value for somebody else. And we're going to put a price on that and see if it plays out in the payer's mind, you know, in other words, mm-hmm. something that you would like to do. And then once you do that, your priced value now becomes property. Okay, you now have something that's actually property, and that's, you know, in the marketplace, that you're granted, you know, you're incorporated, you have a business
mm-hmm.
entity, and now that has property.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you want to do is you want to make that property more productive. This is the five P's, capitalism.
So price,
and
property, productive?
Productivity, and then you get
mm-hmm.
profitability, and you become more prosperous. And then you use your profitability to add other kinds of property, personal and business property. And then you rinse and you relather and you wash. And
mm-hmm.
And so it's a upwardly expanding 5P measurement system. But you have to be willing to be measured by outside standards. You have to be measured, you know, and in other words, you have to be accountable to a reality outside of yourself in order to participate in capitalism.
Wow.
Anyway,
that's
my
great.
So
the five P's, price, property, productivity, profitability, and prosperous.
And prosperity.
Prosperity. Okay.
Prosperity.
Okay.
Yeah.
These are the measurements. Yeah.
These are the measurements, and it's a totally impersonal system because you can think that you are very valuable, but that's not true unless another one finds it that way. And it starts with the pricing of your individual capability. Yeah.
Boy, that's good. I mean, that's kind of like I like how it jumps right to price. That is the culmination, or that's the end result of having a market, you know, creating a market that you've got a good or a service
yeah.
that somebody's willing to exchange money
well,
for. That that's the
well,
value.
Let's apply this to Mr. Beast.
Yeah,
because he had, at a certain point, he had subscriptions to his YouTube, right?
Yes, so he's got, now he has 130
million,
100 million,
100 million,
130
so, right?
million subscribers, right?
Yeah, and what's a subscription? I mean, from your standpoint, what's a subscription?
That's somebody who's watched the videos and said, they push the button that says, essentially, the message they're sending is, I like this, let me know when you do another one. That's essentially
okay.
what a subscription is. So now he's got 130 million people that the moment he puts up another video, they will drop everything and run over to the computer to watch it. You know, that's what it is. Now that value to others, if you're thinking about it, is that sponsors and YouTube will pay Mr. Beast money for that attention that he's getting.
Yeah.
So big companies will sponsor his videos because they know that all eyes are going to be on Mr. Beast for the next 10 minutes. They can, you know, in a favorable way, present their product and YouTube by running ads on those, you know, within those videos is generating advertising revenue that they share with Mr. Beast. So there's the value is in the attention.
Yeah.
And then if we take it to property.
So the price, his first price is that you'll give him your attention.
Yeah.
In other words, and then the number of people who will give him his attention and let it be known that anything new, they will watch it. You know, that, I mean, that's the price they're giving. They're paying him attention. He's accumulating a capability, which is his alone. So it's his property.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. And YouTube as an entity is looking for exactly people like him because he's a vehicle now that they can sell advertising on his vehicle. Yeah. So that's property.
And that's the thing is it doesn't, that's a great thing for, it's a great collaboration, really, right?
Yep.
When you're looking at this thing is YouTube has the capability for him to put up his videos and have the capability for millions of people all over the world to stream that.
Yeah, and the money for this is actually created by a collaboration between Mr. Beast and YouTube.
Yeah.
And so both of them are creating a new money, part of which YouTube gets and part of which Mr. Beast gets.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he becomes more productive on it because first he was creating his own entertainment products, and then he got the idea of Beastburger, Mr. Beastburger.
Yeah.
Okay. And that he could now create something that made restaurants all over the United States and Canada too, because we have Mr. Beastburger restaurants here in Toronto. And he said, "Look, we've put together probably, well, first of all, it's my favorite hamburger restaurant menu. And if you were to add this to your offering in your physical location in your neighborhood, I have 50,000 of my viewers.
Yeah.
Who, if they knew that they could go to your restaurant and partake in my hamburger menu,
yeah,
I would tell them to do that. I would tell them to do it.
Yeah. God bless America.
God bless Mr. Beast.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, now if we could only get Shahid to go in on Mr. Beast biscuits, that would be the big, that'd be an amazing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the interesting thing here, he's made YouTube more productive. He's made thousands, I don't know, what's the number now, Mr. Beast Burger Place?
So there's 1,600 now.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, you know, and he's made marketing companies because he's got a lot of marketing skills that's now supporting him, packaging skills. And, you know, and they've established standards that have to be observed.
Yeah.
And
well, you know what is interesting, who gets sort of underappreciated in this whole success story is the guy who put the whole thing together, Reed Duxer, is Mr. Beast's manager. He owns a company called Knight Media. And he's the guy, he was a former sports agent and realized that these YouTubers are the new celebrity, they're the ones that, you know, he was thinking about his nephews and nieces who have no idea who any of the athletes that he was representing are, but all they could talk about was, you know, at the time, Dude Perfect was one of the top things on the internet. They know all these YouTubers who have, you know, big reach. And that they're the new TV stars, the new athletes, the new everything for this whole YouTube generation. That's the primary thing. So he, you know, went to Dude Perfect and, you know, did an arrangement with them where he could bring brand deals to them, like represent mm-hmm. to brands. So he had the vision to take this reach and combine it with, you know, with big corporations who wanted to, you know, get some of that attention. So now, you know, he represents basically all the top. Any of the YouTubers with more than 10 million subscribers are basically in his stable, and that's just being a visionary, you know.
Yeah. So then you have profitability, because this becomes very profitable for YouTube. It becomes profitable for Night Media. It becomes profitable for Mr. Beast, and it becomes profitable for the restaurants who do this. Okay. And now we have prosperity. And each of them can use their profitability to prosper in the ways, and, you know, and their pricing goes up. They, as individuals, your pricing goes up. As you go through the complete five P's, if you're prosperous at the end, it means that everything, the pricing has increased, the property has increased, the productivity has increased, and the profitability has increased. Okay, then you re-lather at the beginning, and you go through the next round.
I would say that Mr. Beast has added a sixth P in philanthropy, because that's what drives all of what he's doing.
Yeah. But that's once you do that, then you're off into another realm. And, you know, so I kind of keep it just within the...
Yeah, right, exactly. With the capitalism,
This is kind of like a flywheel. It's kind of like a flywheel that you create. And see, my attitude towards that is not doing philanthropy. And the reason I don't like philanthropy is I've been to some meetings, philanthropies, and it attracts the murkiest motivations of any rooms I've ever been. And it's a mixture of politics and everything like that. I just say, let's use my prosperity to create opportunities for entrepreneurs to expand even more in the world. So I'm only interested in the capitalist flywheel.
I like it. Is that what you're calling it, the capitalist flywheel? That's a good word for it.
Well, you could call it that. I mean, I'll think about that as I go along. Now, here's the thing. From the outside, it's not really understandable, and I think that's the biggest tension between capitalism, because all you do is see the external. People who are not in the system only see the externals, and it looks like it's unfair. It looks like it can't be honest because it's not understandable. And the people who are doing it, what qualifies them to do it? You know, so, you know, I mean, you don't learn this by going through 24 years of higher education, you know, at the university and everything else. And if you're not in the marketplace as an entrepreneur, you don't even know where to begin this.
I love it. I mean, that whole, every time you think about how right the founding fathers got it in terms of self-interest being the only true reliable measure, or the reliable resource, you know, to rally around or to organize around. That's such a, because you said a lot of people are wondering, you know, well, you know, it's self-appointment too. You could just join it. There's no gatekeepers to it. You know, you don't have to be favored by anybody but the marketplace.
Yeah, it's like Orville and Wilbur Wright. They did that without applying. They didn't have a pilot's license.
Can you imagine?
They just went out and created a plane and flew it, and they didn't even go to the government office that grants pilot's office to get the pilot's license to do that, you know.
That was unreal.
And Cyrus McCormick, you know, he didn't even get a license to create and start marketing the Reaper, you know.
Yeah,
the Reaper. you know, and you know, and you know, Edison didn't have an electrician's license, you know, he didn't have any of those licenses.
I love it. This is pretty great. It's really a fun, if you think about it, like a path, like that merry-go-round or the flywheel or however you think it, all you've got to do to get on it is to create something with a price.
Yeah. And then you go back, you do one round of it, and then you go back to the beginning, and now your V is bigger, your C is bigger, and your R is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
This could get out of hand.
It could, Dan. I'm fearful that it's going to start getting regulated.
We could be censored.
We need an oversight committee here. You're going to get us canceled talking like that.
We're really interested in what Elon Musk is going to do with Twitter now.
Well, I think the one he did, he fired all the executives, I think, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, they got a big payout, you know. They get to go to the beach.
Job two is Donald Trump back in tweeting.
Well, that's going to be interesting because he's going to have to make a compelling offer to it because they've created the Truth Social, you know, and they're up to, they have about 50 million followers, you know, which Trump brings along with him wherever he goes. So he's already got a, so they're, I mean, they'll probably use it because it's available, you know, and you know, there's probably going to be a new set of rules about what you can do. But
there's another Twitter alternative. So Rumble. I know about, Rumble is the YouTube alternative for video.
Yeah.
But there's something else, Giver or something. I don't know what, there's another Twitter one that is available now.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have
TikTok. We had a really great presentation of TikTok. And so we have a new Free Zone member by the name of Mark Lachance. Do you know Mark? He's from Montreal.
I don't know.
He was in marketing, and then he really got interested in TikTok. And now he's got 300 in his company. And he really understands the algorithms of TikTok. Mm-hmm. And one of the outstanding examples of one of Free Zone and a collaboration, but the use of TikTok, and that is he teamed up with Stephen Poulter, our IVF doctor. Okay. And so this is about, I would say, 6 months ago. They were in just a 10 times workshop together because Mark wasn't in Free Zone at that point. And he just, you know, Stephen's a great doctor, but he's also got a great mind for technology. He, you know, and he got really interested in it. And about that time, Joe Polish sent Stephen some really massive misinformation because TikTok, you know, goes from angelic to evil. You know, I mean, the spectrum of what's on TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, it can be the darkest of the dark side, or it can be the, you know, the most sanctifying of the good side on that side. And it was just a piece of outrageousness about how conception happens, you know, how a human being is created, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you can just take skin cells and you can turn them into a new baby, you know. It was just really outrageous. And all Stephen did, just to test it out, he just showed actual camera videos that he takes in his lab of conception actually happening, you know, sperm and egg. And it was, you know, it was very explicit. It was sexually explicit. And then he had a very quick voiceover. And, you know, he really sounds like the authority. He's got a very authoritative voice. And he says, this is how it happens. And we've been doing this for 25 years. And he says, tens of thousands of women who couldn't conceive before conceived. And this is how we do it. So he just watched it. And within an hour, he had 10,000 downloads.
Wow.
And by the end of the day, by the end of the day, he had 60,000 downloads. Okay.
Wow.
And so they started working with it, and then he just puts out these little, very short, 30 seconds, is long, 30 seconds to 45 seconds. And in 6 months, he's got 60 million followers. Okay.
60 million?
60 million. Well, 60 million downloads.
View.
60 million downloads.
Yeah.
Not 60 million followers, but 60 million downloads.
Yeah,
and the phone at his clinic is running off the hook. People are coming and knocking on the door, and you're the person we want to work with. You're the person we want to work with. We completely trust you and everything like that.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's another case of, he has a real vision. He has a real vision for his medical, his medical future. But also to get the word out, to get the word out. Because right now he basically has to get through to GPs, doctors, and, to that he has, and it's very slow, it's like dragging a rock uphill to get their attention and everything like that. And now he's bypassed that altogether, And he's not attracting kooks.
No, I mean, they're real people on TikTok.
Yeah,
he
says, well, isn't it for teenage dance videos and everything else? And they said, nope, it's gone into the 40, to the 20 to 50 audience now.
Yeah. And the 56-year-old Winter Haven resident audience.
Yes.
I mean, I think
never know what's going to happen with that kind of person, a 56-year-old.
Right, exactly. You never know where it's going from there. That's exciting, though. But that's kind of where, it's another example.
But we're thinking about doing it with our next book. Ben Hardy and I, our team and Ben's team, we're thinking about doing it. And we'll start 4 months before release date. And, just picking a number out of the air that we try to get 20 million downloads before release date.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I have a goal of 200 million sales within the first 100 days when the new book, 10 times is easier than 2 times, is the next book.
Yeah.
And that's just doubling from our first 2 years. So first year we got 50,000 in the first 100 days. The second book, we got 100,000 in the first 100 days. And so I said, let's go for 200,000 this time. Freaking my marketing team out completely. And I said, well, 50,000 freaked you out and 100,000 freaked you out. So this is, you should be used to being freaked out.
Yeah, it's so great, Dan. I mean, that's so good. And they're both still selling routine. Like
steady.
Yeah.
Real steady. Yeah. They're like year to date, they'll sell as many this week as this week a year ago.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're spreadable concepts, I think Joe Polish is going to have a hit on his hands too with what's in it for them.
Yeah. It's a great book. I told Joe, I said, you've turned suffering into a useful raw material.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, most people look at suffering as something totally worthless. And I said, you've actually built your whole unique ability on it. And you've created a whole new value based on the whole concept of suffering.
Yeah, we did a podcast together, a video version in the new studio. And I said to him then, I can't believe that in the entire history of the world, nobody's named a book What's in It for Them. Nobody's thought that. It's really interesting to me because it's just such a, it just shows how few people actually think that way, enough that it would come to the surface as the title of a book,
And I think the cover is great. I told him off the bat, I said I thought he had it wants to be picked up,
Yes,
it's a cover that you want to pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's so exciting. Everything's, you know, firing on all cylinders. It's amazing to watch your collaboration with Ben and Tucker and the Hay House, like that whole thing just conceived as a collaboration. And now look at it. It's pretty interesting to see.
It's really interesting because since we've started, I've been in no meetings with Hay House.
Right.
we have a count that we have. So we have a number of ways of measuring its effect on our sales to Strategic Coach. And as far as we know, 150 read the book and contacted us and signed up as a result of reading one of the two books so far, which is, people say, well, that's not very many. And I said, yeah, but the lifetime value of every sign up that we have historically is that when you have a sign up, it represents $40,000 of value in the future. So it's 40,000 times 150. I said, I think that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Where it was their idea to read it. It was their idea to contact us. It was their idea to find out more about it. And it was their idea to sign up for the program. And then outside of that, there's been about another 350 who were prospects already. And then they receive these books. So we send these books out to all people who are already prospects. And another 350 have come in where this was sort of a tipping point in their decision. Mm-hmm. Reading the books was a tipping point. That's about 500 times $40,000. So that's not bad.
That'll add up after a while.
That's not bad for me. That's not bad for me. Really, my only input is having continual discussions with Ben about the context of the concepts that we're working on.
Uh-huh.
I'm like you. I like talking.
Yeah. That's right. I like it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Our teachers didn't realize that we were talkers, you know. That,
right.
Realized that talking was applying yourself. They didn't realize not having respect for authority is a capability.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. In the last 2 weeks, I've had a Imagine If You Applied Yourself breakthrough. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about this idea of, you know, the imagine and if are in the imagine world, you know, imagination world, where you can be a shapeshifter and there, you know, you're planning and thinking and seeing things, false theoretical side of it. And then but applying yourself is in the real world, in the physical world, and where it's always been a reality in the reality world is that time is one of the things that moves at a constant of 60 minutes per hour, and you only get 24 of them in a day, you know, and that things are going to take a fixed amount of time to do, a physical amount of time, that they have to happen in real time. And there's most of the things that people value as valuable, especially in the physical world, like having a six pack or being healthy, is something that requires repetitive real time application of doing things to shape your body. You know, you look at all the things you're doing at 6 a.m, you know, every morning to stay, you know, young at 78. Have you tested what your real age now is?
Yeah, I'm using Inside Tracker. This is a quarterly. So blood draw every quarter. They take it in. They look at 43 markers, and they have millions of blood tests and, you know, demographics. And so based on my blood test, this puts me at someone who's 68 rather than 78.
That's so great. Yeah. So
right
an
now.
Extra,
and,
yeah.
And last
going
year,
down,
I was
trending down, right? Yeah.
Well, no, I haven't in the first year, but I've aged one more year chronologically. So I was
okay.
9 years. Yeah, I was 9 years younger last year, and then I added another chronological year, but my biological age didn't go up. So I held steady at 68.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you something, and you can look this up because I suspect you have something nearby. It's a new workout place, and it's called OsteoStrong, O-S-T-E-O, capital O-S-T-E-O, capital Strong, S-T-R-O-N-G. Okay. And we saw it on the longevity trip with Peter Diamandis when we were saw, you know, 15 things in San Francisco, and we saw 15 things in San Diego, all mm-hmm. having to do with regenerative medicine, especially with age reversal. And it's almost too good to be true, but we're doing it. And I'm in the first 5 days, I found a very significant difference that this exercise does. So you go in, and it's got four different looking machines, you know, and this was in a shopping mall, the place we went. It was up near Highway 400 and Highway 7, you know, so I had to check my passport and make sure I had the right shot.
Yeah, I get
and we
it.
Took
Holy
an,
cow.
And we took an extra oxygen supply, you know, I mean, this is a,
yeah.
this is a real trick. This is a real trick. And, but we went there, and it's mostly women who are there. And as a matter of fact, I haven't seen a male yet in the place. It's mostly women, but they have some starting machines, like a vibration, you know, a vibration platform you get on and it vibrates, and you just step up and down for about 5 minutes. And what that does kind of wakes up all the muscles in your body. Okay. So, you know, and then they put you on the first machine, and it could be any of the four machines because other people are using them, so they slot you in. And they put you on, and one of it is upward lifting, and one of them is pull-down lifting, like a pull-down, so you know, like you're on a pull-down, and one of them is like pushing with your feet, and the third one would be posture. It would be standing up straight and doing it. And each of them, the intensity lasts for 10 seconds. That's all the exercise there is, 10 seconds. And you have a meter that shows your strength in doing each of these exercises. And so I was 100% the first time I did it for all four of them. They have a thing that says 100, you know, that you're above 100. So I'm strong, you know, I'm really strong. But, and then they have things like, I won't go through, but there's an infrared room that you go in and you get infrared light for about 10 minutes. And then they have a lie down massage pad with hot water, and they do that. And they have, you know, it's another thing that detoxifies any electrical charges you have, because this is all electrical equipment, so you get rid of the electrical charge. So, and these are very passive. You don't really have to do anything with any of these. And it's about an hour start to finish by the time you get in and out. And you do it once a week. And so I did it the first time, and about day five, all of a sudden, I noticed that all the coordination in my body had taken a jump. Like, you know, I'm at the point where walking, because I have a bad knee, that I have to hold on to the railing, you know, when I go upstairs and when I go downstairs. And about yeah. 5 days in, I could go up and down the stairs quickly with no holding on to the railing. Okay.
Right.
And I noticed that just turning, you know, and, you know, picking something up and everything. I just noticed the coordination of my whole body had just taken a jump.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then I went back the second time. I went back the second time, and I was stronger than I was the week before, even though I had only done the one exercise per week. And they recommend you not do it more than once a week.
Wow. And so how
we don't want to see you in here you know. Yeah, so it's called Osteostrong, and they have franchises all over, but I suspect they have them in Palm Beach, you know, or in the Orlando area.
Yeah, just looking it up online, there's one in Winter Springs, which is about an hour and a half. But it looks like there's going to be, it looks like they're coming, looks like they've got different locations that are coming soon, so. Yeah. Boy,
well,
what an interesting...
You'd definitely want one in Celebration, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, and have it near your recording studio so you can go over and...
Just do it in the set there. Yeah, let's just set one up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing. Their website is 60 seconds per week. No pain, all game. The ultimate buy. Yeah. Sweat-free, painless. Fast, less than 10 minutes, will not leave you feeling fatigued, will not leave you feeling sore the next day, once per week.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something.
It's all compelling offer, no convincing argument.
It's all cheese, no whiskers. That's right.
It's all cheese.
Which builds good bones. That's funny.
Yeah, well, here's an interesting thing. They've discovered that your muscles, they've shown that your muscles cannot be any stronger than your bones, ligaments, and cartilage. Your body will not allow your muscles to be any stronger. So if you have, you know, your bone density has gone down and your ligaments are subpar and your cartilage is subpar, your body will not allow your muscles to get stronger, or you'll injure yourself with your own muscles.
Your muscles could overpower, snap bones, right?
Yeah. So it's really interesting because what the exercise do, I think, is that they really strengthen your ligaments and your cartilage. And I have really high bone density because I did that 2-year heavy squatting, you know, during COVID. It was, so I'm, there's 100%, it's called 1.0, and I'm at like 1.43. So I'm about 43% higher, you know, with my bone.
That you go through? Do you have a flexibility element that you go through?
No, I don't. And it'll be interesting to do it after I've done this for a while. You know, I haven't really gone through it. Well, you know, I have stretching. You know, I have stretching with bands and things like that.
Yeah.
But nothing systematic that I've ever, you know, really focused on. You know, I mean, my main thing is, my whole standard is, can I continue the output of creativity and, you know, the coaching and the writing and, you know, and the podcasting. So it's like people say, you know, I want to be able to run a marathon. I said, geez, I have no interest in that.
No, that's not your mission.
I mean, that's like 4 hours of no talking.
Right, exactly. You can do 4 podcasts in that amount of time.
Yeah, why would I want to do that, you know?
Right, exactly. That's funny. Well, there we go, Dan.
Well, it's like golf. I never understood it, but it's probably, you know, it's probably a round of talking if you got the right partner.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. I think you and I would enjoy playing golf together.
Yeah, I'd have to take special pills to stay out of the gap.
Right.
I think golf, aside from Lee Trevino and Chichi Rodriguez, and there's probably a pattern there, I've never seen any professional golfers look like they were having a good time.
Oh, that's so funny. That looks like it's a frustrating game for a lot of people. I'm very happy.
Well,
I'm a happy golfer.
Yeah. I think you have better athletic coordination than I do. I think you probably, you know, I think your eye-hand coordination is better than mine, probably.
All that misspent youth on the tennis courts. That's right.
But anyway, I would, and they give you a freebie to go in. I mean, you can do a freebie just to get a feel. But I've never done anything where I noticed the benefit within such a short period of time.
That's a testimonial right there. Let's write that down. Dan Sullivan.
Yep.
Toronto. / Chicago.
Yep. But we know the two owner. We know the two owners because we met them at the on the longevity trip, you know.
Oh, okay.
And,
oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, and I checked them out, and we had political talks with each. I had political talks with each of them that would have got us immediately canceled. Immediately got us canceled. You know, I don't know where they are. I don't know, but Babs knows them. She's talked to them. You know, yeah. Personally, so, and it's franchise, you know, it's a franchise.
Yeah, how much
operation,
of a footprint
so.
Do they need for the franchise? What?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
But they're very eager to have conversations. So if you're, are you going to Scottsdale?
I'm not going to Scottsdale, no.
Okay.
But I will I'll be, I think my next time that I will see you is in Palm Beach. Definitely planning
right.
on there.
And
then
in February.
By spring, yeah. Then to be, I don't think I'll come to Chicago in January. I'm not that excited.
But you'll
about
come
that.
To you'll come to Toronto at some point, probably.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And the new owners of Les Select have not screwed things up.
Okay, good. That's a good thing to know. Even the table numbering system?
No, they screwed that up. But
okay.
Five is okay. Ten is now five.
Okay, there we go. I love it.
Yeah, but the experience wasn't half as, you know, wasn't half as good as a result of going from 10 to 5, you know.
Right.
So anyway, no, it was great. It was great. You know, there were three or four of the previous staff there, and they're very prominent, and you know, and so you know, they made you feel very welcome, and you know. So it was cool. Yeah, but Jocks is gone. You know, there's something else in Jocks right now. I think they moved back to France. I think the husband and wife.
The kids
were
that excited about taking over. Yeah.
Nope.
They had big plans.
Anyway, we'll be, I'll talk next week. I'm here next week.
Awesome. Me too. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Talk to you soon.